at Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, a Wisconsin man shares his family's experiences in Japanese internment camps during World War II.
First, the Congressional Budget Office announced their analysis yesterday of the House Republican bill to replace the Affordable Care Act, known as the American Health Care Act. The CBO projected the number of people without health insurance would grow by 14 million by 2018, rising to 24 million in a decade.
Those numbers were larger than many analysts predicted, which raised doubts about whether or not the legislation can pass. The bill is scheduled for a possible vote in the House of Representatives next week.
Stephen Smith joins us now to break down this analysis. He's a professor of political science at Washington University. Steve, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you.
Big picture, what do you make of the numbers in the Congressional Budget Office's study? 14 million more people uninsured as compared to Obamacare, going up to 24 million in a decade.
Well, it's a very big number, and it very much hurts the cause of the Republicans who thought that they could put together a plan that would give people more access to health care at a lower price. And the CBO estimate shows that what they've proposed so far really does not yet do that.
And how reliable are these CBO numbers? We're seeing members of the Trump administration in particular, some in Congress, really attacking the budget office itself.
Well, this is a very difficult kind of economic estimate to do. There's obviously direct changes that are fairly easy to estimate, changes in the tax code, for example, and what taxpayers are required to pay. But forecasting how many people will buy insurance and at what price is a far more difficult thing to do. It depends on the state of the economy, what other sources of what kinds of income people have, and what the real price of the premiums that insurance companies will offer over that decade will be. So it's a very, very tricky business. I think everyone thinks that CBO is as capable of doing that as anyone. And I think most budget watchers think that the CBO does a very, very good job of it. But there's a big degree of uncertainty about these estimates, and there's just no way to avoid that.
Given that uncertainty, I mean, we've seen Democrats point at these numbers saying, look, we can't pass something like this. It's going to knock millions of people off health care. Some Republicans, especially in the Senate, pointed to those numbers saying, hey, let's slow down and rethink this. Even given this uncertainty, is this a reliable lighthouse for people to use as they try to navigate a health care plan replacement?
Well, it certainly is the foundation for evaluating proposed changes in existing policy or in the Republican plan. So to have some kind of a benchmark for evaluating these policies is really absolutely essential. Otherwise, you're just going blind at this. So these are reasonably good numbers. They're just not bound to be perfectly accurate. You're right in thinking that there's an awful lot of interest in changing what the House Republicans have done. It's almost certainly true that to pick up the support of a necessary number of Senate Republicans, some additional effort will be made to keep more people insured than is likely to be the case under the House plan.
Another element of the Congressional Budget Office analysis here says this would have, over time, a positive impact on our national debt, or our annual deficit anyway.
Yeah.
What do you make of that prediction?
Well, that turns on all of this. This isn't simply a matter of budgets. It's a matter of trying to estimate who will be covered and what that will cost. And there's a great deal of uncertainty about that. But, the overall picture here is a net change in spending of about $1.2 trillion, and a reduction in revenues due to the elimination of the Obamacare taxes of 800-some billion. And the difference is that $350 billion of a deficit reduction. And that's a pretty reasonable estimate given all the other estimates in the package. But $350 billion over 10 years is barely a dent in the national debt or the annual deficits that are projected. So really, I don't think that the deficit reduction part of this is what we should focus on. That's relatively minor. The real change is in the degree to which the federal government's involved in making sure that people have health insurance.
We're talking to Stephen Smith from Washington University, looking at the House Republican health care replacement plan. New analysis out from the Congressional Budget Office as of yesterday, looking at the costs and impacts of it. We heard in the news Sean Spicer, White House spokesman, Steve, talking about the CBO analysis. He said, hey, there's only 9 million people on the marketplace of the Affordable Care Act, so it doesn't make sense that 14 million people could lose insurance. But that 14 million number would largely include people currently covered by Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. Have we started to conflate the marketplace, the exchange, with the Affordable Care Act as a whole?
Well, I think so. You know, it does appear that something in the number of close to 21 million people have health insurance now that would not have otherwise have had it if Obamacare had not been in place. Roughly half of that are people who are there because of Medicaid, and the other half are due there because of the they're able to go to the exchanges and buy private insurance. For most of them at a heavily subsidized rate. What the Republican plan does is basically revert back to Medicaid prior to Obamacare and then freeze it so that over the course of 10 years, quite a few fewer people will be on Medicaid, and that saves, CBO says, about $880 billion. And of course, the other half of it is that they take these subsidies for people who are buying private insurance on exchanges, turn them into tax credits, and the tax credits aren't nearly as generous as the current subsidies are. And actually, the Republicans plan to spend about half as much on those tax credits as Obamacare would have on the subsidies. And so that's another saving of $300 or $400 billion dollars. And that's where we get the 800 plus the 400 from the savings between tax credits and subsidies to get our $1.2 trillion in difference.
And let's look at the impact on what particular groups of people would pay. Some people have been pointing at this analysis from CBO and saying this is going to affect seniors, older Americans, a lot more. They could potentially see substantially higher costs. Is that how you read it?
Absolutely. The Republicans plan to change a key feature of Obamacare. Obamacare prevented insurers from charging the older groups, those around 60 years of age, they could only charge them up to three times as much as a young adult. And the Republican plan allows the insurers to charge up to five times as much. Because seniors are you're using medical care more often than young adults, insurers will surely take advantage of that greater ability to charge the seniors that larger premium. And a large part of the difference occurs there. So there's been talk that the overall package reduces premiums over the course of the 10 years. But that's true for people in the younger and maybe middle-aged groups. But once you get above 50 and you're then approaching Medicare, your premiums are going to be much higher. So according to the CBO estimate, and largely because of the freedom the insurers will have to charge higher premiums.
I want to get into the politics of all this a little, Steve. There have been efforts to fix at the federal level American health care for a lot of decades. A lot of efforts fell short. The Affordable Care Act happened, for better or worse. It took a lot of doing. What do you see as the road ahead for an effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think the Republicans are in for quite a big fight here. I think that they're going to have to pare back their plan considerably in order to win enough votes in the Senate to get this enacted. I think they'll have to pare back on the cuts in Medicaid, and they'll probably have to up the level of subsidies for people who are buying private insurance and can't afford it otherwise. That will change the mix considerably. It'll maybe make it possible to get it through the Senate. But whether such a more moderate bill could get through the House because of opposition from House conservatives is unclear. So there's just tremendous uncertainty. You know, essentially what Obamacare did was reduce the percentage of American adults who were uninsured from about 19% to 10%. And the Republican plan will push that back up to 19% by the end of the next 10 years. And my guess is that the Republicans, if they remain in control, can probably reduce the federal commitment. But I would be very surprised if over the long period we actually adopt policies that get us back up in the 20% range of uninsured. I think that would be politically unacceptable, and we'd end up seeing a major change in party control of government if we came close to that.
We'll leave it there for now. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Stephen Smith, professor of political science at Washington University. He joined us to break down the Congressional Budget Office analysis of the House Republican bill to replace the Affordable Care Act. That analysis released yesterday.